Well, we're in a series this morning called Christmas at the Movies. And the intention of this series is to help us to look at the stories and illustrations that can speak to the masses. You know, the reason why we're even participating in this is because Jesus, as it said in the scripture, and I shared it last week, used stories and illustrations in order to speak to the masses. And so for us, a common way that we can see different symbolisms is through great Christmas movies. Well, one of the movies that we're going to talk about this morning is a Christmas classic. Why is everybody laughing? It came out in 2003, starring Will Ferrell, and it is the movie entitled Elf. Now, you laugh because we think Christmas classic, we think Miracle on 34th Street, and we think It's a Wonderful Life. But Elf is actually becoming a family classic for many of us. In fact, I've heard stories about how families are watching Elf as a family tradition on Christmas Eve. Because it's a really fun, lighthearted movie, but there's actually some really cool things that are going on within that. So the story, if you're not familiar, it is the story of Buddy the Elf. Buddy was actually given up for adoption as a baby, and he ended up in an orphanage in New York. And Santa, as he does on Christmas Eve, was going around delivering presents, and he showed up at the orphanage. And Buddy found an opportunity to crawl out of his, I almost said cage. Well, that would have been not his cage. Out of his, what do we call those things? Cribs. My goodness, thank you. Out of his crib, and he climbs into Santa's sack, and Santa heads back to the North Pole, and he's standing there, and all of a sudden, here comes Buddy out, crawling out of Santa's sack. And then they didn't know what to do with him. They decided to keep him, and he was raised by an older elf, a wiser elf named Papa. So Papa raises Buddy, but it becomes very clear that Buddy is not like the rest of the elves. He doesn't realize it, but everybody else around him realizes that Buddy is a little different. Suddenly, it is spoiled for Buddy that he is actually a human. Spoiler alert. Right? He's actually a human, and he doesn't know what to do. He spirals out of control, and Papa Elf has to explain to him that he is a human and that he has a human father. And so, realizing that he has a human father, he sets out for New York, and he wants to go find his dad. And then ultimately, as a part of this journey, he is tasked with the responsibility of convincing New Yorkers, of all people, that Santa is real. Now, he's going to do this by one way, and it's his motto. It's his mission statement, and that's simply this. It's spreading Christmas cheer by singing loudly for all to hear. Spreading Christmas cheer by singing loudly for all to hear. This is his one desire, to continue to do this. Now, what happens to Buddy in the movie, and what tends to happen to us, especially during this time of year, is that we find it hard to find joy and cheer. Sometimes there's just, you look around and you have conversations with people and you feel like there is joy and cheer missing from the conversation. Or sometimes even because of our own circumstances and situations, it's hard to look around and say, I don't feel very joyful. This is kind of joyful, but it doesn't feel like I am very joyful or cheerful. And again, many times joy and cheer get buried under traveling, under credit card debt. Even strained relationships can cover up joy and cheer. Busyness in itself can cloud out those things. But I want you to hear the truth this morning. The truth is this: Christmas can become more stressful than joyful if we're not careful. Christmas can become more stressful than joyful if we're not careful. I can think about the stressful times in my Christmases experience and many of those late, early evening experiences of putting together toys before Christmas. Are you with me on this? You know, you pick up the manual and you don't read the very fine print at the bottom that says requires an engineering degree for assembly, right? You get done and all of a sudden you miraculously have more parts and you don't know how they got there. So you quickly kick them underneath the couch. You find the next Christmas and then the toy begins to make itself under the couch over years of putting, anyway. So, one year, I actually decided to declare choking hazard. Now, guys, listen, dads, you get this. This is one, it's a one-time offer. There are toys that you can declare choking hazard. And so if you think that this toy, it's going to take forever to put together, and there is a possibility that one of those parts could come loose, and it could potentially choke your little child, then you just declare choking hazard. I'm sorry, Kaylee. I cannot put this together. This is a choking hazard. And she just kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? So you get that one time a year. So obviously we're having a little fun, but as many of you are aware, Christmas stress is real. Christmas stress is real, and it comes in many different forms. In fact, for some of us, it's not just Christmas that brings about these stresses. It's something that maybe we experience throughout our journey and throughout our story, throughout our life. Maybe for you, the stress that you experience this time of year is physical. Maybe it's a physical stress. It's maybe a chronic pain or a chronic illness. It could be a diagnosis that we received. And all of a sudden, all the cheer and all the joy and the cheer are eliminated. And then during this time of year, this Christmas season, it just seems to get even more accelerated. For those with chronic pain, you're called on to go to more things and to do more things and to find yourself sitting longer or standing longer or having to go to stores or go to that party and they require that you eat all the food. And you're like, well, I can't eat all the food. I mean, these things are real. And so maybe for you this morning, the physical aspect of Christmas is a real stress for you. Maybe it's not physical. Maybe it's emotional. Well, let's just be honest. Emotions during this time of year are incredibly heightened, whether good or bad. So if you're a happy person, a joyful person, during this time of year, people want to kill you, right? Because they are experiencing the complete opposite of that. Because whether we're experiencing high highs or sometimes low lows, emotions during this time of year get especially heightened, don't they? So we experience these things, and maybe it's not physical for you. Maybe it's emotional. Instead of hearing the wonderful song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. You think to yourself, it's the most horrible time of the year. You know, unfortunately, that probably wouldn't have sold as many albums. But that's the way that you feel during this time of year. So maybe it's not physical and maybe it's not emotional, but maybe your stress this season is financial. Again, you recognize the reality of finances and the reality of your money, that your bank account is becoming depleted and yet there is still more that has to be bought for Christmas. So what do you do? Well, some people take out a loan. Some people put it on their credit card. Some people resort to other ways and means to try to provide something for their family or their loved ones, but it causes more and more financial stress. Credit card debt piles up. In fact, did you know that 20% of people in 2018 are still paying off Christmas from 2017? Think about that. 20% of consumers are still paying off last year, and they are in this year. Now here's the question. How do we find joy and cheer in the middle of all of this stress? Now obviously you know that this is not an exhaustive list. These are just a couple of things that we tend to lean to when we experience these things, but really it could be any type of stress. So the question for us is, how do we experience joy and cheer in the midst of all of that? Well, we're going to turn to two resources that's going to, I think, be helpful for us this morning. Number one is the Bible, God's Word. We always want to lean on Scripture. But the other resource is going to be from Buddy, the elf, in the movie Elf. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Life doesn't have to be Pinterest to be perfect. I'm sorry, that's actually a typo. It's doesn't have to be perfect to be joyful. Sorry, not Pinterest. It's supposed to be perfect. But the truth is, many times we tend to think to ourselves, we need to have life that looks like a Pinterest account. Our mantle needs to be decorated in such a way. I may or may not be speaking to myself. That all the decorations need to be hung with care. I know I'm not actually talking about myself. But we think that it has to be Pinterest perfect. And you know, to be truthful, Pinterest has ruined a lot of family holidays. Right? Because it doesn't look or maybe feel the way that we want it to. But let me share with you, let me let you off of the hook here. Life doesn't have to be perfect to be joyful. Amen. It doesn't. It doesn't. In fact, Buddy's life in many, many ways was far from perfect.
Hey, Fufu. I hate to do this to you, but you think you can help me pick up the slack on those etch-a-sketches?
No problem.
I appreciate it. Buddy is killing me. Ernie got Lum Lum and Choo Choo pulling doubles.
Quick thinking yesterday with that special talents thing.
I feel bad for the guy. I just hope he doesn't get wise.
Well, if he hasn't figured out he's a human by now, I don't think he ever will.
I think they're too small.
You're just special.
So good, Buddy. Are you okay?
I'll be okay. I just need a glass of water.
Ah! Buddy!
Okay. I'm sorry, Papa. Just need some alone time.
Buddy, I think we have to talk.
Buddy's life is far from perfect. You know, he doesn't fit in. He's completely misunderstood. People make fun of him all the time, including his own family members. Now, I know what you might be thinking to yourself. Holy smokes, I'm Buddy the Elf. Sometimes I feel like I don't fit in. Sometimes I feel like I'm misunderstood. In fact, sometimes I feel like my family, all they do is just make fun of me. Maybe you feel that way this morning. Well, here's the thing. You don't have to be happy to experience joy. You don't have to be happy to experience joy. Now, the truth is, we tend to confuse these two things and put them together, that happiness and joy are mutually exclusive, and they're actually not. They're not connected to one another. I want you to hear this is an incredible lesson, because I think if you can grab hold of this lesson, this will help you, especially during any time of year, not just during the Christmas season. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. Happiness is external, joy is internal, which means that no matter who you are, there is no person in this room that is exempt from this, and there's no human on this planet that is exempt from this. Happiness only is experienced by external factors, either by what you've given or what you've gotten, or an external factor that that affects you is the only way. It's something that happens to you. So, I gave a gift. Somebody enjoys that gift. We experience happiness. He went to Jared, right? Happiness. She said yes. Happiness. Right? The parking spot at the front of the store opened up as you were coming around the corner. Happiness, right? Hashtag blessed. So we tend to put these things together and we go, wow, I am a happy person. And then we associate that with being joyful. But because I am happy, I must be filled with joy. And that is simply not true. As long as things are going well, I'm happy. But again, the question that we need to wrestle with this morning is, what happens when things don't go well? How do we respond when things aren't so merry and bright? Jesus even warned us in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, here on earth, you will have, say it with me, many trials and sorrows. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. He didn't say you're going to have a few. You may have a couple. Jesus warns us that in this life, we will have many trials and sorrows. And we have only proven this to be true, haven't we? That we know that life is hard. And sometimes life feels like it gets harder. And sometimes you feel like you just want God to take his foot off the gas. And sometimes we need to take our foot off the gas. Sometimes we need to find the brake. But this is true for us. We have proven this to be true, Christian or not. Life is filled with trials and sorrows. But the verse doesn't stop there, aren't you glad? The verse doesn't stop there. In fact, look at the next verse. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. This is Jesus. He's saying, listen, you're going to experience many trials. You're going to experience many sorrows. But take heart, I have overcome it all. I have overcome it all. So he is the one that in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our trials, he is the one who overcomes. This is where we can find joy. Trials and sorrows stink. But you can still have joy in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the sorrow, because Jesus has overcome even that trial and even that sorrow. There is not a trial or a sorrow that Jesus has not overcome. You see, joy transcends the external circumstances of our lives. Even again, Jesus wasn't happy about the prospect of being tortured and killed and crucified, the most torturous of all deaths, on a cross. He did not look forward to this. In fact, in Matthew 26, verse 39, it says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. We tend to forget that even Jesus, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of the trial, he said, God, take this away. If it's according to your will, remove this cup of, pleasantries. No, he said, suffering. Remove this cup of suffering. Again, that's the external. But then the writer of Hebrews, knowing that there was a joy that would come through that suffering, the writer of Hebrews tells us about the internal of what God, through Christ, through Jesus, was experiencing in that moment in Hebrews 12, 2. It says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. So he even took what would be regarded as the most shameful death, and he disregarded it because he knew that God, his Father, had already overcome, and that he could experience even the joy that was awaiting him, but it was through the suffering. Haven't we been there? Externally, life is just pure chaos around us. But having that internal joy that people can't really put their finger on, even yesterday, standing on the sidewalk with Dwight and looking at his house that is, part charred and burnt, and the interior things are melted. Even in the midst of all of that, Dwight had this internal joy that probably many people standing there would have been like, how? Why? I'm not saying it's easy, but it's there. So let me tell you why this happens. It's because happiness is dependent on the flesh, but joy is dependent on the Spirit. This is the reason why this happens, because happiness is all dependent on the flesh. But joy is something completely different altogether. It's not dependent on external circumstances. It's not dependent upon the flesh. It's not dependent on what even happens to us, because it is birthed and it is dependent upon the Spirit. So, did you know that joy is a gift from God? You can't even produce joy. Joy is a gift from God. And we see this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit. It says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we tend to think that these are all things that we have to do. I have to be peaceful. And then we look around. I'm not experiencing a lot of peace. So that means I must be really terrible at this fruit of the Spirit thing. Patience. Don't even get me started. Right? Right now, y'all are going, he's going to wrap this thing up. Right? Like, what's going on? Like, I got places to go. We got gifts to deliver. Right? Bears games on. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? And so we think to ourselves, oh, man, I must not be really good at this fruit of the Spirit of patience, because I'm not very patient. Or we get to kindness and self-control. Self-control? Pastor, it's Christmas. There is no such thing as self-control. I need to eat whatever I want. I can go and get whatever gift I want. I don't care if my bank account says negative 14. Self-control. Because we tend to look at the fruits of the Spirit as stuff that we do. But I'm here to tell you this morning that this isn't a to-do list. This is a to-be list. The fruits of the Spirit is not a to-do list. It's a to-be list. It's allowing Christ to be this list in you. See, this is the good news. The passage doesn't say the fruit of the person who goes to church experiences love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It doesn't say that the person who drops a few bucks into the Salvation Army kettle, that person is experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. It doesn't say that the person who doesn't swear, that person is experiencing, the fruit of that person is experiencing love, joy, peace, patience. What does it say? Say it with me. The fruit of the Spirit. These are all gifts that are given to us. Again, I want you to hear me tell you this morning, you can't produce joy, but joy can be produced in you. So when we look at this, in order to experience joy, even in the midst of this chaotic season, even in the midst of the trials and the circumstances, I want to tell you, here's the key. If you're taking notes, write this down. You must allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of your life. If you allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of your life, it doesn't mean that the trials and the sorrows aren't going to come, but it does mean that the Spirit will be working in you, and that you can produce this fruit that you have looked at maybe even for years and thought, I can't do that. I can't. Patience, self-control, faithfulness, love, joy. Because you're right, you can't, but He can. He can produce that within you. If you want to move from happiness, which is external, man, I was so thankful for the Advent reading this morning, weren't you? Because this really dovetails well. If you want to move from the happiness and that external aspect to being joyful, which is more internal, then you must move from being controlled by the flesh and instead be controlled by the Spirit. That will help you to start making that transition away from the flesh and more towards the Spirit. Remember, you can't do joy on your own. Now hear me. You're gonna try. Because I know y'all. You do this, right? So you hear the challenge from the pastor on Sunday and you go, doggone it, I'm gonna be joyful. Right? I have set out and I will be joyful in the midst of whatever is going on. I will find joy. And you will make everybody else's life miserable around you. People will be like, what is wrong with them? I don't know, they're trying to find joy. Seriously. So you're gonna try this. And again, you're gonna lose sight of what I'm telling you. Because joy is not something that you can do, but joy is something that you can be. Because you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. Because you say, God, I'm all yours. Produce in me what I can't produce on my own. So I'm gonna go back as we end here. Don't worry, kickoff's in about 10 minutes, so we're good. just kidding. So we're gonna go back really quick here as we end. We're gonna look at the Christmas story, just very, very quickly. Because in the Christmas story, we find this in the midst of Mary's story, don't we? I mean, because if you go back and you look at the external circumstances of Mary's situation, it's awful. It's not pretty. You're talking about teenage pregnancy, out of wedlock, could be stoned to death. Joseph ain't the baby daddy, right? You know, Maury ain't walking out going, hey, let's open the envelope. You're the father. You know, that's not happening in this story. This story, from the external look at it, is really terrible. But yet, in the midst of all of that, and it's not because Mary is some pious woman, and it's not because she is set apart, well, she was, but it's because Mary finds her joy in something different than what everybody else would find their joy. She finds her love and her peace and her patience. Not because someone said, Mary, you need to act this way, but it's because she puts her trust in God. So in the story, we find ourselves in Luke chapter 1, just briefly here as we close. Verse 46, Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. This is the section of scripture which we call the Magnificat. It's Mary's story. It's her song. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. In the midst of all that could go wrong in the Christmas story, you have, if not the main, one of the main characters, looking at the circumstances and saying, holy is his name. Even in the midst of the hurt, holy is his name. Even in the midst of the trials, holy is his name. Even in the midst of strained relationships, holy is his name. Even in the midst of a diagnosis, holy is his name. She had no idea how this story was going to turn out. We have the privilege of looking back and knowing how it all unfolds. She, in that moment, when she spoke these words, had no idea how this story was going to end. But even in the midst of all of that, she declared, and I challenge us to declare as well, holy is his name. Gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you. Man, what a challenge. When I think about the timing of the writing of this message, and I think about the timing of some of the circumstances that those around us are experiencing, and I think about what you're trying to teach us, even through a funny movie like Elf, Lord, I'm so thankful that you are revealing to us that we don't need to be happy to be joyful. That life doesn't have to be perfect to experience joy. That we can't produce joy, but joy can be produced within us. And it all comes back to our willingness to allow you to be in control. Lord, for many of us who struggle with control, help us, Lord, to be able to hand these things over to you, palms down, hands out. Help us, Lord, for you to birth within us these incredible attributes of your Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Lord, the only way that we can make sense sometimes of the disaster around us is to just simply and utter these words: holy is his name. Holy is your name, Lord. Help us to see that you know that you have overcome the world. You told us that we would experience many trials and sorrows, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. That is why, Jesus, this morning we can say with confidence, holy is his name. Trinity, would you stand with me? Would you just extend your hands to receive this benediction this morning, this blessing over you and over your week? I pray that this message this morning was a sense of encouragement for you, that as you go from this place, that God is with you and that he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And now I just encourage you, as you know it, to say it with me or follow along on the screen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.